Father, thank you for today, for being with us. Thank you for each one that has taken time out of this holiday weekend, a time in which we're supposed to remember. And these folks have taken time to remember what Sunday's about as well. And I thank you for their being here. So watch over us, minister to us through your word, and we'll thank you for what you accomplish. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Memorial Day is a day in which we stop and pause to remember and to honor those who have given us the freedom that we enjoy in this great country. And as we do that, we remember that freedom is never free. A number of months ago, it's over a year ago now, I had a chance to go to D.C. with a friend of mine who was in Vietnam. He was instrumental in our salvation. And I had never been to D.C. prior to this time, but we went to D.C. and we went to the wall with the Vietnam vets. And I wasn't sure exactly why this was on his highlights, but when we got there, I learned, because he was looking for a buddy, a buddy's name. And when he found it, emotion swept his body. This is a man I've never seen emotion before. He's one of those easygoing guys. He's a pilot. He taught me to fly. And anybody that can teach greenhorns how to fly and stay calm is amazing, but I've never seen emotion until that day. So we remember those who died, and they died for a purpose. They died for a reason. We're gathered here today because of another individual who died, and he died for a purpose. He died for a reason. He lived for a reason. Freedom is never free. And so this morning, I want to just ask you, do you have purpose? Purpose for being here. One day, someone will stand at the place where you will be buried. And as they stand there, will they be able to say, he lived with purpose. She lived with purpose. Friday night was one act plays, at Hedgesville. And Abby was, I was surprised, was wearing one of Central Chapel's t-shirts. It's an older one. Some of you may not have remembered it, but some of you will. And it says John 3:16 on the front. But on the back it says, live your life in such a way that the preacher won't have to lie at your funeral. So do we have purpose in our lives, or will we one day realize that it was just a waste? Our whole life that God had given to us for the purpose of bringing him glory, will we one day say, it was just a waste? I did not use my life for the purpose. So this morning, we're going to talk about the golden years that sweep upon us all too quickly. You know you're getting old when the rocking chair feels like a roller coaster. You know you're getting old when happy hour is taking a nap. A couple of more. You know you're getting old when getting lucky means you found your car in the parking lot. You know you're getting old when your wild oats have turned to bran flakes. Or the speed on the highway is to get to the destination before you forgot where you were going. And the one that my dad tells me now, it takes longer to rest than it does to get tired. So we're going to talk about getting old. And I have to admit to you, I was telling Tommy Buffenberger earlier, I went through the book of Ecclesiastes almost 30 years ago. It was the last time I preached through the book of Ecclesiastes. When I came to this particular passage, there were things in here that hit me in my late 20s and early 30s. I guess I would have been late 20s. It was over 30 years ago when I preached it, that have stuck with me, and I hope that some of this will stick with you as well. Demographers often divide older population into three stages. I'm so pleased with this. I really am. You got the young old, age 65 to 74. I'm not there yet, see? I like this. So the young old, their group is nicknamed the go-go years. The middle old, those aged 75 to 84, this group is sometimes called the slow-go years. And then you have the old, old group, age 85, and they're the no-go group. And there are currently 6 million people, this age group, and they're the fastest growing age group in America today. You realize in 1900, only 4% of the American population was 65 years or older. Today, over 15. You wonder why Social Security's having trouble. You wonder why health care is an issue today. The average lifespan in 1900 was 47 years. 1950, 66 for men, 71 for women. In 2017, 76 for men, 81 for women. So you can kind of understand why we're kind of in the situation we are in our country. Only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And we need to remember that. I read this article this week. It's an article that's put out by Think, a production by Kira in Dallas, but it said, "Growing old doesn't have to be hard." That was November of 2017, they wrote that. "Growing old doesn't have to be hard." And then 3 months later, they write an article that says, "How to Have a Good Death." All right? Don't allow the aging process, this is my point this morning, don't allow the aging process to turn you into a grumpy old man. Chuck Swindoll says, "Gray hairs, fewer teeth, yet a great big smile." That's what we want to take place. Take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. I'm going to be reading the first 8 verses. You follow along with me. Ecclesiastes 12, starting in verse 1. "Remember now your Creator. In the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.' While the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also, they are afraid of the height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden and desires fail. For man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the street. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher shattered at the fountain or the wheel broken at the well. When the dust will return to the earth as it was and the spirit will return to God who gave it, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity." The writer of Ecclesiastes has finally come to the point that he has been telling us throughout the book. He started out by evaluating life separated from God, trying to find meaning and purpose and reason and fun and fulfillment in life, and he couldn't find it apart from God. And he was a man that had all the means to make it all possible, but he still found it to be vanity. And then he realized that we're all going to die. Doesn't matter whether you're rich, poor, we're all going to die. So now he comes to that famous passage where he begins to make us look death square in the eyes. And he tells us what to expect. He tells us the keepers of the house tremble. Our legs, they are the pillars. But as we get older, the hips and the knees begin to give us problems. And getting around, we need a cane, a walker, or a wheelchair. Now, those of you that are already experiencing this, I just want you to remember that God told us ahead of time what to expect. I don't like it any better than you do, but the aging process is something that we all have to go through. And so these are the things that we can kind of expect, and we can grumble and moan and complain as we go through them, but God said, this is the process. This is just the way that it works. The grinders cease because they are few. At 50 years of age, I went to the dentist, recalling this passage, and I was having a problem with teeth back here. He said, oh, we want to do a crown. And I said, no, we don't want to do a crown. He said, oh, yes, we got to do a crown here. I said, no, pull it out. He said, no, we don't pull teeth out. I said, we're pulling the tooth out. So he sent me somewhere else, and I had the tooth pulled out. Hit 51, the next tooth bothering me next to it. I go to a different dentist. He says, we need to do a crown. I said, no, we don't need to do a crown. Pull it out. Oh, no, we don't pull them out. I said, we're pulling it out. So he sent me somewhere else to get it pulled out. Why was I getting them pulled out? The Bible tells me this is part of the aging process, and I know we have medical means, but sometimes you can't afford medical means. And so you do what you do. The Bible just tells us that as we get older, part of the process is the grinders don't work as well. The windows grow dim. The eyes get weaker. And we struggle with that. And we have some folks in our church that are really struggling with that. It's hard. Told me when I got to be 40, I'd have to have reading glasses. I made it about 6 months before I hit 50. But I need reading glasses. I can't even read the hymnal any longer, even this big print, without my reading glasses. What does the Bible tell us? As we get older, the eyes wear out. The doors are shut in the streets, and the sound of the grinding is low. Could refer to our hearing, without a doubt. This is what most people would say, but the next part comes into play as well, which could mean hearing, but these things, our ears. I'm not going to ask a show of hands, but I know that there are a lot of individuals that have hearing aids. In fact, our church even offers a little thing that you can wear to help your hearing. Why is that? Because we're getting... Oh, somebody said it. Stanley said it. Yeah, it's part of the process. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, death is a reality. And we are reminded of that day in and day out, but we great Americans don't want to admit it. We don't want to talk about it. And we even will put off the whole idea of putting together a will. We just don't want to talk about death. And yet it's a reality. And Solomon is just bringing us to that very fact that all these things are true. The second part of that is when one rises up at the sound of the bird and all the daughters of music are brought low. I said, oftentimes they say this is probably referring to the ears, but there are some commentators that believe it's coming to that point of the feeling in life where you just no longer feel as though you are useful. That point in life where you just feel like you're a pain, a nuisance, an inconvenience. A problem to family. The aging process is something that we all go through. When you're afraid of heights, got a sample of that this morning. I used to be able to climb any tree. I worked at the county where we farmed 5,000 acres of corn. I ran the grain center, and we had a grain leg, and it was a pretty tall grain leg. And I would race up that thing. I won a number of Cokes that I could do it in less than 30 seconds. Climbing high didn't bother me a bit, but this morning I was taking down the decorations in the fellowship hall from the wedding, and I took that center one down in the center of the fellowship hall, and I was on a ladder. I'm not as young as I used to be. I think we're just getting smarter. I think that's what Solomon was trying to say here, is that we get smarter with age. The almond tree blossoms. The hairs turn gray. So we drive Chevy celebrities, Buick celebrities, Sentries, that's it. Or the hair falls out. It's just the reality of growing old. The grasshopper is a burden. Desire fails. I got to share with you what Chuck Swindoll and David Jeremiah say here. Chuck Swindoll says, the idea is of being able to bear fruit, the inability to procreate. And then David Jeremiah says, you can work this one out yourself. Hint, there's a whole new line of pharmaceuticals to help. It's all part of growing old. The point that Solomon is driving at here is found in verses 6 through 8. Would you look at them with me? He says in verse 6, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. When dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. What Solomon is saying here is you better remember your Creator before it's too late, because one of these days we're all going to stand before Him and give an account. I read somebody's post this week. It says, we came from dust, we go to dust. That's why I don't dust. It might be somebody I know. When we come to a passage like this, the younger folks have a tendency to be oblivious to what is being said. Those of us that are older begin to feel overwhelmed with regret. The younger ones feel as though they have forever, and death is so far away that they don't even need to think about this or consider it. They're going to live their life, and they're going to live it as they wish. The older generation looks at this and says, why was I so stupid? Why did I waste all those years chasing after the things that this world has to offer, chasing after things that I thought would bring meaning and purpose, and now I evaluate life and I find it empty? Solomon is just simply saying, listen, you're all going to die. And when you stand before your Creator and give an account, you're going to wish you'd have done a whole lot more. The Apostle Paul uses the picture at the end of life. There's going to be a conveyor belt. I'm really giving it the Walsworth paraphrase here. But everything we have done is placed on this conveyor belt. And this conveyor belt goes through the hottest furnace that had ever existed. And that conveyor belt takes everything of my life, everything that I have done, and it runs it through the fire, and in the fire, everything is tested. Why did I do it? What was the purpose? What was the meaning? And if I built with hay, straw, and wood, it all gets burnt up. But if I built with gold and silver and precious stone, it comes through, and I'm rewarded for that. And so Solomon is just reminding us that we're all going to die, and we better remember him before it's too late. Derek Kidner put it this way. Most memorably of all, The pictures of verse 6 capture the beauty and the fragility of the human frame. A masterpiece, as delicately wrought as any work of art, yet as breakable as a piece of earthenware, and as useless in the end as a broken wheel. That's death. And Solomon is just saying, stop for a moment and think about it. You see, at the end of life, every one of us will stand before the Maker, and I will either be accepted or rejected at that point. Every one of you, when you stand before him, when the silver cord is broken, we will either be accepted or rejected. The Bible says that he will separate the sheep from the goats. And from there, we walk into eternity. But I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you would, and go with me to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. In verse 31, it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goats. And he will sit the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those of his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' The king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me.' Then he will also say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' And he will answer them, saying, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it, you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life." So the reality here is that every one of us will live for eternity somewhere. Every one of us. The determining factor is Christ. Now, if this passage was the only passage we would think that we earned our way into heaven. But the Bible is very clear that none of us could ever earn our way into heaven, that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. We are told that salvation comes only through Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." So we understand that salvation is by faith, through grace, and we place our faith in Christ alone. And if you're here this morning and you have never done that, if you have never come to a point in your life where you've recognized that you are a sinner, you actually deserve God's judgment, but you recognize that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance, If you have never done that, then God is waiting for you to come to that point in your life where you are willing to turn from your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ. And the moment you do that, you enter into a new relationship with God. You become his child, and you are to live for him and bring him glory all the days of your life. But for those of you that have been believers for a year, for 10 years, for 50 years, we have to stand before him and give an account. And he's going to evaluate our motives. Why did I get up every morning? What was my purpose? What was it I was living for? What was causing me to make the decisions I was making? Was he first and foremost? Did I love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength? Solomon is saying, listen. We had best take advantage of serving and bringing God glory with our lives before we get to the dark days, when life becomes miserable, when the legs begin to give us trouble, when the eyes don't see as well, when we don't hear as well, when the teeth are falling out. The time to serve and honor him is while we still have good health. Doesn't mean we can't serve him when we get bad health. But Solomon is just saying, listen, we've gone through this whole book. And Solomon is saying, listen, you guys are chasing after the American dream. I've lived it. I've experienced it. And it's vanity. It's emptiness. It's meaningless. At the end of life, the only thing that's going to matter is what you've done for Christ. That's all that's going to matter. You know, there's a lot of veterans that are kind of angry today. They're angry this weekend. Why? Because our society moves on as if we have forgotten that our freedom is a result of those who have gone before us. And we seem to think that camping and boating and fishing and hunting and all of that is far more important than remembering them. Every Sunday is the Lord's Day. And I wonder sometimes how often he gets angry because we would rather camp and fish and hunt than to do what we're supposed to do. Remember him. Solomon is saying, listen, it won't be long and you're going to turn into dust. They're going to take you and they're going to bury you, and you'll soon be forgotten. And the only life you have is right now, right here. And God is the one that gave you life. He is the one that'll take you out of here. And every day that you have, that your heart beats and you suck air, is a gift from him. And Solomon is just trying to remind us that if we don't take things seriously, sooner or later we stand before the judge. And I have to give an account. And you have to give an account. Remember him. Remember him before it's too late. For those of you that don't know Christ, the promise is that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's where the relationship starts. Because every one of us here will live for eternity somewhere. And the scripture makes it very clear there's a heaven and there's a hell. And the only way to heaven is through Christ. And so I want to encourage you, if you've never done it, do it today. And I'd be glad to talk with you, to help you in any way that I can. But if you want to get out of this life with the hopes of eternal life, the only way to get there is through Christ. But for those of us that are believers, the God that created us, the God that loved us so much that he sacrificed his only begotten Son in order to save us from our own sinfulness, who is in heaven right now preparing a place for us, looks down upon us as we live our busy lives, and sometimes I think he must wonder, where does he fit in? I don't know if you saw this morning when Tyler was over here and Mike was over here and Dan was saying, you're second and you're third and all of that. I wonder sometimes if God doesn't wonder what number he is in our lives. What number is he in your life? The greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. It's a good place to start. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? With all heads bowed and all eyes closed. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ, I want to encourage you right where you are. If God is pricking your heart and mind, revealing to you your own sinfulness, then right where you're seated, just cry out to him and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I recognize that, and I realize I deserve your judgment. But I also realize that Christ went to the cross of Calvary to die for sinners just like me, and I want to be forgiven. And I place my faith in Christ alone to deliver me and to save me. But Christians, remember him before it's too late. Now is the time to make him first and foremost in your life. Don't wait until he shakes your chain and reveals to you your frailty. Now's the time to show him that you love him more than anything else. Father, thank you. Thank you for your goodness and your grace, for your mercy and your love. Speak to us, challenge us, convict us, and help us to become who you would have us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.